right, good morning. Last presentation.
Woo!
So my name is Kristen Hosey. I'm a faculty at the University of Washington School of Nursing, and I also work in the Global Health Department. I predominantly teach undergraduate nursing students, and then do study abroad and mentorship with graduate nursing students in global health. Today I'm going to be talking about, actually I think this is great that I'm wrapping up because mine is more of a intervention to get more nursing leaders out there through the AFIA BORA Consortium and Global Health Leadership. So that's the big focus of what I'm going to talk about today, and then if there's a little time I'll plug for a local organization that also works in increasing the number of global health nursing like advocacy work in Seattle. So I don't need to do too much talking about the importance of nursing in policy because I believe my colleagues did a great job of that. But in a lot of the countries in Africa, nurses make up the majority of the healthcare workforce. I think I even saw something from ICAP that said something around 90% of the healthcare workforce. So it's very likely that a lot of people that are seeking healthcare services in these countries will only interact with a nurse. But like we've been talking about, they're not always at the seat for making policy changes. So I want to talk about the AFIA BORA Consortium. It's a global health leadership program that was started in 2008 when 8 universities came together, 4 from the U.S. and 4 from Africa, that have had a long-standing partnership. So from the U.S., for instance, we have the University of Washington has been working with the University of Nairobi for 20 to 30 years at this point. And in about 2008, we were seeing a lot of funding coming in for HIV and the need to have physicians and nurses with additional training and leadership, because they're running these programs now. Instead of doing direct patient care, you have the one physician. I know I lived in Malawi for a couple years. Our only physician in my district was the district health officer. So even though he was a surgeon, he wasn't doing surgery anymore. He was managing programs for the district. So we found that in traditional nursing and physician medical education, you don't have a lot of training in policy, as we mentioned, but also in things like HR, budget management, grant writing, communication, implementation science, epidemiology. So when they met, these 8 universities met, I think the U.S. universities thought they were going to do some trainings in HIV. When we met, it came out that we needed more leadership training in these areas that are not found in traditional medical and nursing education. So here are the 8 universities here. Makerere is in Uganda, and they've had a long-standing partnership with Johns Hopkins. And I mentioned University of Washington, University of Nairobi. Mukumbili is in Dar. Are in Tanzania, and University of California, San Francisco, and then in Botswana is University of Botswana and University of UPenn. So here's a breakdown. Basically, the fellowship is a one-year fellowship, 20 fellows. Typically, it's predominantly nurses or physicians, and we have some public health, and I have more information about that. And the first year that they did the fellowship, you can see the pilot year was a 6-month fellowship, and then here are the numbers here, and then you can see the Botswana, Kenya, the breakdown. So it's pretty evenly matched up with these 5 countries. Nurses are not quite half, but they're almost there at 42%. And for a little background, also in 2015, we added a 5th African Academic Health Center in Cameroon. So this year we have some fellows in Cameroon. We have enrolled overall 40 nurses and 59 physicians. And of the 80 graduates of the AFIA BORA program, all of the African fellows have remained in their home countries. So this is not a program where we're doing brain drain. And I'm not saying that people have not come to the U.S., because many of our fellows do collaborate with the partnering universities on research. So I think someone mentioned about improving the opportunities to get funding for research. This is like one of the ways that we've been doing that. So the structure is pretty much set up where we have three in-person blocks, and I have also another slide as well that kind of shows this as, this visual. Three in-person blocks with eight modules, and then there's four modules that are online. So you'll meet in the beginning of the fellowship, and this is an opportunity when you meet in person for 3 weeks. We're talking about they do three modules around leadership, communication, and monitoring and evaluation for the first 3 weeks. And this is a way for all the fellows, the nurses, the physicians, and from the five, now six countries, to collaborate on group work, to talk about what is working in their countries, what does not work in their countries, and to get some of that, what we call South-South collaboration and conversations going. Then you'll go for 4.5 months. You'll be placed in any of the five countries, so not the U.S., but the other five African countries, with an organization. This could be the CDC, this could be the Ministry of Health, this could be an NGO, a non-government organization, or a nonprofit that also has a standing relationship with these universities. And then there's mentorship from both those organizations and from the universities in those countries. You do not have to be someone associated with those universities in order to become a fellow. So just because the University of Washington, UPenn, UCSF, and Johns Hopkins are running like the American fellowship does not mean that you have to be from those universities to attend. You just have to have a master's degree in public health or nursing, if you're a nurse, and a master's in medicine, because some of the African universities, that's what they provide for physicians, or a doctorate in public health to be a fellow. Then in the middle of the fellowship, we come back together for a few weeks to do modules around implementation science, informatics, and grant writing, and then go back either to the same organization that they were at for the remaining 4.5 months, or you can go to another organization. And then wrapping up at the end is an HR and budget management module and policy module. So this is it again, in case this is a little bit easier to see. So 3.5 at the beginning, 4.5 months at your sites, back again in the middle, 4.5 months, and then back again at the end. This offers the opportunity, when you're in the 4.5 in the middle, you're also doing online modules around epidemiology, HIV, responsible conduct of research, and so forth. So you're still communicating with your colleagues, and all of the fellows in each of the countries meet up about once a month. So all the Kenyan fellows or Americans or whoever's in Kenya, they'll meet up with the mentors at that University of Nairobi at least once a month. So there's a lot of this collaboration and partnership, and you're learning about how to it's not a clinical fellowship, it's not a research fellowship, it's more of a implementation science translational research fellowship. So here are some of the quotes. At the end, the Afia Bora Consortium does do monitoring and evaluation, and the International Training and Education Center for Health, actually ITEC, actually does the monitoring and evaluation for the Afia Bora, and they're constantly getting reflections from fellows every 2 weeks throughout the process, and they're getting evaluations on all their modules, and then at the end they ask alumni of the fellowship how they felt that the fellowship went. And I wanted to say, like, the majority of fellows said that they gained something. I think 100% said that they gained something from this experience. But 67% have spearheaded changes in their organizations to make a greater impact that they say was because of their experience in the Afia Bora Consortium. So I wanted to highlight a few of the fellows. First, I want to talk about Annalena, who's from Botswana. And she is a nurse, and she coordinates the activities of the HIV and AIDS Policy Committee of the Nurses Association of Botswana. So she's making changes at the national level in Botswana. And then my good colleague and friend, Kenneth, he's at Jomo Kenyatta University of Agriculture and Technology now as a faculty there, and he received the UW's Outstanding Community Partner Award for his work in HIV prevention. And Charles is also a nurse, and he's in Uganda. And he has been spearheading research regarding ethics training for nurses in Uganda. And he also is utilizing nurse midwives to get cervical cancer screenings in the country. And then Helen has been she's mentored 24 nurses and physicians in Tanzania, and all of them she's mentored them on scientific writing, and all of them have gone and presented at scientific conferences on their work. And then my good friend Alex Biu is actually currently a White House fellow. And if you want to hear more about the work that I did in the Fiobora Fellowship and I'm continuing to do, you can hear my presentation on Wednesday. It's about continuing professional development. I've been working with a regulatory group in 17 countries to try to get access to nursing, online nursing education for nurses in the region. So some of the lessons learned from this experience. There is a gap in traditional nursing education globally related to policy and leadership, as we've talked about. Nurses can have an impact within their organizations and communities. South-South collaboration can improve health policy and services. And then I'm going to do a small plug for an organization that we just started up in Seattle called the Global Health Nursing Interest Group. And it is actually because Seattle has the Gates Foundation. On top of the universities like Seattle U and the University of Washington, we have the Gates Foundation, we have PATH, we have a number of global health-related nonprofit and NGOs there. So we've been working, actually with Dr. Larson here, we've been working on some work around just showcasing the work that nurses do in global health, trying to get more input, like to get more organizations to get input from nurses, since we are the healthcare workforce in a lot of these countries that we're working in. And when we talk about task sharing and task shifting and other interventions, a lot of times it's not nurses that are at the table when they're making these decisions, whether it's policy, whether it's research and implementation of programs. And so this is just an organization that we've put together to hold events, forums, and just to get like more visibility of the work nurses do in global health. So that's pretty much all I had to say. Acknowledge the organization, universities that I work with the Fiobora. Thank you.